Honey, do not make plans Saturday, January 24th, okay?
Why? What's happening?
The Walmart wellness event. Flu shots, health screenings, free samples from those brands you like.
All that at Walmart.
We can just walk right in. No appointment needed. Who knew we could cover our health and wellness needs at Walmart?
Check the calendar, Saturday, January 24th.
Walmart wellness event. You knew.
I knew.
Check in on your health at the same place you already shop. Visit Walmart Saturday, January 24th for our semi-annual wellness event. Flu shots subject to availability and applicable state law. Age restrictions apply. Free samples while supplies last.
Refresh your bathroom with big savings at Lowe's. Reimagine your bathroom with up to 40% off select faucets during our bath savings event. Need it today? Order by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop for your bathroom refresh at Lowe's. We help. You save. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Same-day delivery on eligible in-stock items. Subject to availability. Fees vary. Visit Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for full terms.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. Grant Bills alongside of the... What?
Wisco Sports Show.
Well, I know that, but I forget the network.
Oh, the Wisco Sports. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Everyone's got a statewide network now.
Yep. And Paul Immig, our goodest of buddies, joins us as well. Everyone's got a statewide network.
Everyone's statewide.
This is statewide.
Correct. From the lakefront to the riverfront. Rocking the docks and shaking the lakes. You have three stations now. You're statewide. I'm not statewide. I have affiliates around the state, but that doesn't make me statewide.
Yeah, I'm in my basement. So I am going to go into this episode. And for those that are listening on Thursday afternoon, I'm going to go live after Bucks Spurs tonight. I just feel like it's going to be the kind of game that everyone either wants to celebrate a win or bitch. So I'll be the conduit for that. And if you're listening after that, well, then you can come back for this. I've been kind of on standby all week. Do we need to go in and break in live? And I think I'm at least going to play under the assumption that Matt LaFleur, week one, 2026, is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Now, assuming that is true, we're not going to right now have the contract details. There's a lot of discussion with Harbaugh. If he's really getting $20 million a year for the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't care if Matt LaFleur gets eight. I don't care if he gets 15. I don't care if he gets 20. That does not matter to me. To me, that money's not going anywhere else anyway, unless it's like Matt's taking more money that they would have given to assistants, but there's no coach cap. We don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to have a different reaction. Oh, well, we got Matt for seven, but we got Matt for 13. There's going to be no reaction different for me with that. I don't want him to be the head coach, and I've made that abundantly clear.
When did you say that?
Yes. Well, I've been saying it, you know, the part of the year where everyone's like, oh, but they had injuries, so they weren't going to win. Yeah, I remember when they didn't have injuries and were still losing. I was saying it then. The Browns game is what absolutely broke me. But even last year, I had been approaching this. Okay, so two things on that. One, if Matt LaFleur continues to be the head coach, I'm not going to root against the Packers. Publicly.
I love that bit.
I'm obviously going to root for the Packers. I want them to win a Super Bowl. I really want to be right about this also, but I'm going to root for them to win a Super Bowl. The thing that has bothered me the most in this whole build up, conversation, discussion, whatever. The thing that has bothered me the most is because a lot of people I've noticed are mad at me because I called them dumb. Could call you a lot worse, and you've called me a lot worse. But there's a disconnect that I don't think is solvable. I don't want Matt LaFleur to be the head coach. I think that is an okay stance to take. I hate when people say this. Period, full stop. Hate when people say that. There's a good contingent of people that think I cannot have that opinion without immediately saying who would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think Matt LaFleur should be the head coach. I can't have that opinion unless I give you another name, which I think would then open myself up to more criticism. And you'd say, well, that's not, yeah, there'd be a back and forth. But there's just a lot of people that can't grasp that. There's a lot of people that don't want to get into the talk about the fire head coach business. There's just a lot of fans that they don't like that. Yeah. It's uncomfortable for them. They don't maybe ever agree with it. They give them the benefit of the doubt. Incidentally, and this is, you know, we'll talk about the Bucks tonight, but I think a lot of people have been talking about firing Doc Rivers.
Really?
And nobody's coming at them and saying, well, who are you going to hire? No one is saying, I haven't seen it. If you're the
which
one
is, person. Which, by the way, is probably a more important discussion than the LaFleur one, because you're in the middle of the season. So if you think Doc should be fired now, like, you actually do need to figure out who's going to coach the team. And
someone's
it's not
like, oh, easy, Darvin Ham.
Yeah, it's not
easy, Darvin Ham.
It's not April, it's January 15th. There's a shitload of season left. So it's funny that you point that out, because that's much more pressing, the Doc thing is.
So I'm having a really hard time trying to, because whenever I approach something, and people do not believe this at all, but if I'm going to talk about something, I do like to know how the other side of that would think. Like I don't bitch just to bitch. That one's itching at me quite a bit. I do not bitch just to bitch. I've never had a take just for a take. I'm always telling you what I think. So I guess what I want to say here is, one, we're going to do this episode playing under the assumption that Matt LaFleur is going to continue to be the head coach and probably get a raise. And I absolutely disagree with it. And I hate it. I hate it as much as you could hate it. I think that Matt LaFleur has, if he's done anything in this tenure, it's lowered the standard of what Packer football is. The 7 seed helped. I know you can, you know, twist your way around saying, well, if whatever, whatever, but they have been a team that was good and now they're barely getting in. I think that I look around the league, I hear the, you know, the get ups and the Russinis and the whoever, and they're all saying the same stuff. Like, Matt LaFleur is this level of a coach. Everybody's working overtime for him. They're looking at regular season stats. No one's factoring in the playoffs. Even though half the league gets into the playoffs, it's still seen as some incredible accomplishment, and Matt LaFleur is the beneficiary of that. So I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Nothing I can do about it. I would like to know, though, why it's not okay to not want someone to continue the coach if I don't know who the replacement should be. Oh, by the way, we have a guy who is hired for that in Brian Gutekunst, but I guess not Grant.
Can I build on one part of that, Grant?
Yeah, bye.
There's one part I want to build on that, and it was something I had written down, not necessarily as an mm-hmm, but something that struck me, and you just hit on a portion of it. National media, pro LaFleur extension. Local media, by and large, even the longtime beat guys, Tom Silverstein, Bill Huber among them, I know for a fact those two. I'm sure there are others, but I happen to read their coverage specifically. As someone who used to sit alongside and work alongside Bill and Tom, I think for them to take that stand was very interesting. To me, it was very telling back, you know, over the weekend that they did that. Because you kind of have two choices then. One, either you were right and you read the room, and, you know, you saw something that you couldn't ignore as a beat reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt LaFleur is out, and you had an article that was well read and also that proved to be, you know, prophetic for the week that was to come. The alternative to that is, if you put yourself on the line there, if you're a day in and day out beat guy who's been there for 20 plus years, as they have, and LaFleur comes back? I'm not saying like these are grown people, right? Like it's not, you weren't saying like Matt's a bad person, right? It's like, whatever. It's not that big of a deal, but it's interesting then. And so to me, if there was ever a telling moment in the past week, other than the fourth quarter collapse, that would have been telling of like LaFleur's status. And by the way, someone listening to this right now might be like, well, that's way too like inside baseball because Paul used to be a beat writer and knows these people, but like it is not nothing that they took that path. So I would say that to one. The part two I want to say to that is, Bart, the story you've told that I think resonates in this case in a parallel way is you and Chuck, you've told the story, you'd have national covering football writer guy on the show, and they would say like, so aren't you seeing someone like this isn't a playoff team or this isn't a good team? And they'd say, what would they say?
But as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, there's a big difference between what nationally people are trying to do and locally. So, and I don't think that is, and I'm not saying people are dumb. I'll never use that word again. I don't think they're dumb to not understand that. Hell, I didn't understand it. But there are different things at play. Local beat writers. Sorry to cut you off. I'll get right back to you.
Yeah.
Local beat writers are ingrained in the team, and I do believe they are trying to report what they are seeing as best as they can to the fan.
Yes.
The national guys just fly in, hawk in, take their morsels, and leave. And I think nationally, I think one of the big things that even local people have a problem with me about is I'm putting myself out there. I have a take. I have a stand. And yeah, I tweeted a picture with people hanging out with the coach, and I didn't hang out with the coach. And there's those relationships too. I think some people in said picture are able to be like, hey, you know, it's the coach. He's a colleague. I think some people are influenced by it. You can be your own determination, but I could point to you every person in that picture that thinks, yeah, I'll go out and hang with the coach. We're working. It's less weird, whatever. It'll help our relationship. And I can point to you who is going to be telling that story to his grandkids and showing it the picture the moment they come out of the womb. Okay, I can point to you on that picture, and you can decide who you want. But it's differently covered, and especially these people nationally, they don't want to go out there. They never want to be perceived as wrong. They think they're in a fraternity. They don't want to rock the apple cart. So there's different things at play. But yeah, Paul, for these guys to put out the article, you know, it's not, you know, I referenced the Overton window, which is when things become acceptable, like, maybe you think it, but you won't say it until it becomes acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's a good safe example?
I was going to say, please.
Like Grosh, like a fucking dude, the six pack of Mountain Dews or Cokes. These were $6.99 for a six pack. Guess what they are now? $7.49. Like, I wasn't going to fucking notice. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say another one would be like Game of Thrones and Stranger Things ruined their good vibes with final seasons that probably didn't want to think it or say it as a fan of the shows, and then you watch it.
I still think we're getting one.
I'm still probably leaning toward just not watching the last season of Stranger Things because I'd rather just end on good terms.
If you, your parent, or spouse served in the military, you could join our family. Our members saved an average of $70 a month on auto insurance when they switched. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/join today to check your eligibility. Restrictions apply.
Revitalize your bathroom with big savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select vanities and free delivery during our bath savings event. Plus, get up to 40% off select shower heads. No matter what style you're looking for, we've got you covered. Shop for your bathroom refresh at Lowe's. We help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
But when I was saying about, you know, the, you know, but do you have Aaron Rodgers thing? And the reason I think this is a good parallel is it's a Packers topic, but I'll branch for a moment. Richard Jefferson was on the Zach Lowe podcast this week. And as Zach Lowe asked Richard Jefferson, like, what about the Bucs? Like, do you think, like, do you give them a chance at all, even like as like a six seed? And Richard Jefferson said, who I like, by the way, as a national analyst, said, but do you have Giannis? If you have Giannis, you have a chance. And my mind went right to Bart Winkler and Chuck Freeman asking national writer about the Packers. And they said, well, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance, which brings me to a thing you've said on this pod in the past 2 months, which is you complimenting, you know, Bucks Twitter and the you know, the young kids, the 20-year-olds who watch every second, who really know about the team. And they're the ones who are ahead, way ahead of like the national accepted Overton window of like what's a good Bucks take and what the Bucks are seeing, because like, oh well, the Bucks just basically like Brooke Lopez has been good. Look what the Clippers just is. Like, you've not watched the Bucks. You don't know how bad Brooke Lopez is. But these obsessive day in and day out follow everything the Bucks do fans, who, and I say this in a complimentary way, are obsessive about the product. Well, they know the stuff. That is parallel to this situation where it's like, if all of the national people, to your point, flying in and just kind of picking up the morsels of what's been put down, they can pick and choose because it's just one of the many teams that there's a storyline about. There's a value to national coverage in any sport. There is. But if you like actually want to know what's happening, it just doesn't make sense to me that you would take any of that as gospel. It doesn't mean that Schefter doesn't have better sources than a local beat guy. You know, whatever the who cares one way or the other, he might have information. But the information is slanted in a way, like Rappaport with, was it the Harbaugh reporting? There was one where it was like egregiously obvious. Oh, no, it was actually with LaFleur, too, over the weekend, where it was like the day before the game, the morning of the game, Rappaport is reporting like both sides are hoping to get a deal done. I'm going to tell you what I know for a fact, even though I don't know it for a fact, but it just, you got to trust me, bro. That didn't come from Ed Policy. That didn't come from the Packers. That didn't come from Brian Gutekunst. That was Rappaport getting information from the agent. But then you report it as if this is both sides' coverage. And it's not. So you have to be able to say, like, okay, this is information. He's saying according to a source. But are we smart enough to discern likely where that's coming from or from what perspective that's coming? And then flip it to, like, please accept that they are covering 32 teams. And it doesn't mean they don't know about the Packers. It just means that it's 1/32nd of their job. So like it, naturally they couldn't be as much of an expert in it as the three of us, as Tom Silverstein, as Bill Huber. So long rant. I hope it connects about the idea that, like, you know, if you watch it every day, if you know a lot about it, be careful, I guess, sort of how the information from outside the local area is received. And if they start controlling the narrative and it's like, you'd be crazy to get rid of LaFleur. You know, Bart, like, sorry, I've been ranting, but I'll be quiet after this. The poll that you might, the Bill Huber tweet and poll that you might reference here at some point.
No, I can't. I'll rip my head off.
But again, I just want to just.
It's a fine poll. It just doesn't mean anything.
What percent of those who voted overwhelmingly, for those who have not seen it, that voted overwhelmingly of like, keep LaFleur and pray for good health, right? Are those who are more consuming Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and like just a more holistic, or is that part of it? Or is it just that this is just, hey, a good Packers fan is an optimistic Packers fan. You know, I'm sure within that, what was it, 70% of people who voted in that way, like, I'm sure it's a mixture, but I don't know. Grant, you haven't said enough.
No, I it's funny to me that you said, for those who haven't seen it, like, it's being presented like it's a Marquette Law poll. Like, and that's what's, well, and that's
it
how
is it is being presented that way.
Yeah. And I love Bill Huber. So, but I'm not,
to be I clear, do too.
It's just funny how this thing is.
But we are, like, I sometimes like to take that step back only because, first off, I promise you there's
something. It's also being retweeted by many people that would vote against LaFleur are blocked from seeing the poll.
Oh, the airplane thing. What's the airplane picture that all the nerds always tweet? You know what I mean? With all the bullet holes on the airplane? Maybe that doesn't apply here. You know what I'm talking about? I also think, by the way, like the Schefters and Diana Russinis, and like I even saw that, who is the guy who wrote the Aaron Rodgers book? Had some reporting for the Times.
Ian O'Connor?
Like Silver. Yeah,
no, I think it was Ian. I think it was O'Connor.
Friend of show.
Yeah, friend of show. Friend of yeah. He geez, what? Never mind. But he had reporting on like what the Giants were saying about LaFleur's availability, and they're like, I wouldn't bet on it. Like everyone around the world, people don't understand. Like, spend an hour listening to the local talk show that people call into in Pittsburgh. I bet 90% of the people you heard from wanted Tomlin gone. Same in Baltimore. I bet they were over Harbaugh. Yes. I bet there are people in LA who are like, Jim Harbaugh is, he's lost it. He's lost his fastball. There are conversations going on with local media people and fans, impassioned fans, that would just appall national insiders. Yeah. How could they? He's a great coach. What do they mean? Everybody wants everybody fired.
They're
all
living
the time.
In different planes.
Yeah. 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 And different battlefields, even.
Different battlefields. Absolutely. Because you have national people. Like, this is what I. You watch the TV news, right? And what do we think about any reporter that we see? They have a bias. Now, factor in what they're on and what they're doing. You think they have a bias. Yet in sports media, we don't think biases exist.
Interesting.
But there are absolutely biases. The biases are not he's good, he's bad, he's left, he's right. The biases are I know this guy. Yeah. I've covered
Peter
John
Schrager
Harbaugh for 19 years.
John McVay's kids type of thing, you know, like that type of thing. Human bias.
John Harbaugh's a great guy. I did a sit-down interview with him before the game 3 years ago. I mean, I see what he's doing. I couldn't imagine it. Adam Schefter, he's got the inside information. There's no way he could be affected. Meanwhile, these guys are less and less over the years disguising less and less how obviously written their tweets are by agents, because no one cares enough to call them out on it. The Harbaugh tweets, it's probably going to get done. That's obviously them positioning for more money.
Yep.
Come on. This is the kind of stuff that, like, first of all, I say this a lot. Our brains were not designed for this. They were designed to eat beans in a cave. Okay. There's too much going on.
Berries.
There's too much content, including this. My brain, and maybe this is, what did I get called today? Smug, vain. Yeah.
That was just by me.
I believe I am smarter than the average human being. Okay? Let me just lay out my cards. And I'm only saying average 50%. Don't you question me what I think. I'm actually average smarter than 95. So my brain hurts even more to have to deal with all this kind of stuff. I wish I could take out my brain and soak it in, like, you know, when you cleanse yourself from a skunk spray, you know, it's like tomato juice. There needs to be something for your brain where it can just, like, massage your brain. And don't say alcohol, because that's not it.
I'd say
ruining
mushrooms.
My life. That's, what, whole milk?
No, mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Oh.
Although whole milk is back.
I don't know. Thank fucking God.
we're back in
the
whole milk.
I've been buying whole milk. You know the dirty looks they've given me the last 6 years? Especially during Christmas time. I'm like, Merry Christmas. Thanks for the whole milk. I'm like, oh my God.
Wait, really? You've been buying whole milk?
Yeah, we do buy whole milk.
Like, as just, that's what you drink?
For my kid.
Still?
Can I go run upstairs to the fridge and see what kind of milk we have?
You could. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was
I think we buy whole milk.
Okay. Interesting.
Should I go get it?
You know, I'll take your word for it. I mean, I'm not even trying to be like whatever. Interesting. I didn't know people did that.
Well, now more and more, it's back.
No judgment.
I saw news stories.
Just didn't know. New information.
No, I'm pretty sure. I gotta go look now.
When was the last time you had a glass of milk, Paul?
Yesterday.
You guys, do both of you just drink glasses of milk, Bart?
No, I might like, if he didn't finish, I might just like chug it quick.
I would do it with something. So
yeah, but you would eat it.
Oh, hey, I'm not going to go get it. I know I have whole milk. Two things that I think are really cool that I've realized with kids. One of the coolest things with kids is when they discover something that you don't think is discoverable. Like when I told him the first time to dip the cookie in milk.
Oh yeah.
It's like Giannis.
He's like
with smoothies.
He's like, why would I put my food in a drink? I gotta just do it. And then the first time he realized that, because we always get ice cream in cups, and then when he finally got a cone, he was like, I can eat the vessel the ice cream is in. He said vessel. He's very smart.
No, he didn't say vessel.
Fuck you.
Fucking liar.
Anything else on this? I have some mail to open.
You have some mail to open?
Some show mail, I hope?
Yeah, Corey sent me mail.
And you're going to open it live?
It said, open on
Wow.
This is great. This is okay. Absolutely.
I don't know what it is.
Put it up to your head.
Oh.
Taliban!
Rami. Where's Rami? We need to get the segment going.
It is. Ledge, this will serve better in the Winklerverse than some box in my basement. Enjoy.
Ledge?
Do you know
this is David Gruber?
Oh my.
And celebrate 12 straight wins coupon.
Nice.
That's a banger.
And is that framed or like?
It's laminated.
Laminated, I mean?
It's in a, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know where these came from.
Octa? What does that mean?
What is the beer that he used for the, what kind of beer is this?
Hams.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Corey.
Corey.
Another fun visual thing I'm going to do is if you're on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream.
And remember, let's hope that you are.
Remember, DanShaneyInsurance.com. You want to, yeah, you ever want to share, you ever think about sharing like blood with me? Not going to do that. I'll share my insurance agent though. Not Dan Shaney approved. I am going to clip in here the 2-minute video that Toby and I did years ago at Carl's place with the golf simulators. If you want to check that out, you will be able to see that. Also notice how different in size my belly is. For those of you just on the audio, on with the show. All right. What else do we have, Paul?
All right. There's a list. By the way, let me ask you this before I ask this question. Because you're doing Bucks tonight, are we avoiding Bucks?
No.
Okay. I have one more Packers one then. Here's a list of some Packers top free agents. Malik Willis, Romeo Dobbs, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Kingsley Anibare, Quay Walker. The one that you can only sign one of these in our wonderful hypothetical universe that we like to play in. You only get to re-sign one. That one is Kingsley Enigbare. I will remind you of the full list again. Malik Willis, Romeo Dobbs, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Enigbare, and Quay Walker. Enigbare is the answer of the one of the six you get to sign.
All right. Well, let's eliminate Malik. Right? Grant?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Is the way you
say it.
Sorry.
I'm going to eliminate Sean Ryan.
See, he's actually...
Before Bart, you work this out, my answer would have been Enigbare, Paul.
Yes.
As you were listing it, it's like, before you even said the name, I said, I think it would be Enigbare because you need somebody up there.
Yeah.
The only other name that was close is Sean Ryan.
Yes, that was my number two.
So much turnover on that O-line, you're going to have to figure out a couple spots. Also, yeah. Needing to figure out center scares me. So that's where I stand. Now, Bart, you keep going. I just thought because those were the first two names, I wanted credit for those being my two names.
So, yeah, I would tell you, my Enigbare won for me, so to my own
Okay, question. Enigbare would have been my one.
Okay, good. So we're okay.
Well, then I would probably...
The Overton window on Enigbare opened, so it's easy for you to say that.
No, I was going to Enigbare. I think second I would have said Walker.
I would drive to Green Bay in my personal vehicle and drive him to the airport today.
Remember, I've outed myself on bad at offensive line.
If
I don't like – I think my Sean Ryan thing, I just think of anybody I've ever seen snap a football, he looks like the least appropriate.
Sure, sure.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck?
Seems... Here's the thing on Rasheed Walker. You would get along with him because I think he's the only person on the planet who wants Matt LaFleur fired as much as you, because what he did to that game on Saturday night could be... He should be on a no-fly list. He's a terrorist.
So if you put Ryan second, is Walker three?
No, I would put
Dobbs. Dobbs. Oh, I was going to get the Dobbs.
Yeah. Walker's not on this list. I want him shipped out into Lake Michigan before
I want him. And by the way, it'll make it even easier once you see him get $15 to $20 million per year, which will make it even easier to watch Rasheed Walker play elsewhere. So I would say Enagbare, Ryan, Dobbs as my three in order.
Out on Dobbs. And I like him.
Oh,
like, if we're talking about quality of player, Dobbs might be one. But the Packers are going to have limited monies, and they can't. I thought Dobbs performed well down the stretch. I have nothing against him. It's just that's a luxury they can't afford. Romeo Dobbs is never going to be referred to as a luxury, but for the sake of how I'm framing this, out on Dobbs.
Can I say something about the wide receivers?
No,
please.
It really bothers me that like all of them are just like 85% good. Like, you can't really trust any of them. They'll all make a big catch, but I think each of them in that game against the Bears had a moment where you're like,
That was just Reed, actually. He was the only one, and he's...
Watson could have Terrell Owens on that final drive.
Maybe. I need someone to...
Reed dropped one.
Reed dropped three or four massive balls this year, and he only played in like three or four games.
Dobbs was solid.
Dobbs is good.
Dobbs, didn't he drop one? I thought he dropped one.
Not that I remember.
All right. The first guy, you said.
Singly.
I need someone to sit down with me, because it's so in vogue right now on Packers Twitter to be like, that's a ball that Christian Watson's got to get. And like, everyone agrees. But then I watch the video and I'm like, I must not be seeing it. I must not know football. I need someone to explain that one to me.
You don't know ball.
Well, even in the Steelers game, there was a ball that came right at DK Metcalf and he just pushed it back on the ground.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Like, I know catching footballs, I think that's something that's harder than we just assume it is.
AJ Brown did the same thing in the Eagles loss.
Yeah,
DK and AJ Brown are probably in everybody's top 10 to 12 NFL wide receiver list.
DC, Fridge Sig?
DC, although I'd rather drink water than drink Diet Coke out of a bottle. I would like to reiterate before we move on one more time how much Rasheed Walker has sucked ass in massive moments for this team this year. He single-handedly killed two or three drives and maybe more plays outside of drives. Like, he was awful. And I think Zach Tom sneaky called him out on Monday when Zach Tom was asked about what went wrong. And he didn't go there, but
my follow-up question to Rasheed Walker, as your, you know, last, where you're going to escort him off the premises,
terrorist,
would be, this is a do you know ball question. Jordan Morgan is good. It is.
I think so. Those like last couple games.
He got off to a horrific start to his being a first round picks, you know, like, and living up to that. But everything, like, I haven't crunched the numbers here recently, but like everything that felt from about the midway point of the season to the end, Jordan Morgan's good. Should you have taken, you know, Nikki Bella's boyfriend instead? Like, maybe. Mm-hmm. Cooper DeJean, for those who don't know. But that doesn't make Jordan Morgan not have a very nice trend right now. Sorry, Bart, you were saying something about either Dobbs or who your final list was.
I was going to say Jordan Morgan makes me want to drink Captain Morgan.
It's actually funnier the longer it goes. Grant, question.
What did the hamburger name his daughter?
Oh, no.
Patty. Speaking of hamburger.
Really reaction.
Oh, I got a real quick thing. All right. So here's a sentence from 97. I went to Walmart today to buy a cordless phone.
Well, okay.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm really in the hankering for like a breakfast sandwich.
Wait, did you actually? I'm sorry. Did you actually go to Walmart to get a cordless phone?
I did. And of course, I had to have a guy get it out of the case for me because all of the cordless phones that are being jacked around town.
I didn't know I didn't know they still sold such an item.
Yeah, just so there's one in the house if, you know, my kid needs to call 911, basically.
Okay. But now you got to have a whole line and you got
to. It's a lot of money, but. Just to have a fucking phone. Anyway.
Grand.
But the breakfast sandwich is $4.50.
Must have been good.
I doubt it.
Not $4.50 good.
What were you asking me, Paul? I love being asked direct questions.
I just discovered this feature.
Of what?
Sounds I can play.
Through what?
StreamYard. Because Carlos was able to have the drops from the show now when I do the show with him.
See, I didn't hear your national perspective yet.
And then I'm like, I don't have. But then all of a sudden, it's been blind to me for all this time. There's a thing right here that says sounds. Mm. So then we like had a drop off.
Drop off. I love it. So wait, do you have access to all of your Bart Winkler national show clip?
Took all the ones he had. He didn't take the caller ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because he thought that might have been like not his property.
What a company man. Grant, name two Kingsleys.
Isn't there a...
Come on.
Ben Kingsley?
No, got to be first name. First name. Kingsley, first name.
There's probably a wrestler.
No, I'm saying this. I'm asking you because you should know the answer to this.
Kingsley Enigbare and Kingsley. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. He has assisted one Harry Potter.
Oh. The Auror?
No.
Is it, what's his last name start with?
S-H.
I don't know.
Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have known that. I'm reading Sorcerer's Stone as a fantasy football punishment right now.
Where?
I'm done.
Refresh your bathroom with big savings at Lowe's. Reimagine your bathroom with up to 40% off select faucets during our bath savings event. Need it today? Order by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop for your bathroom refresh at Lowe's. We help. You save. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Same-day delivery on eligible in-stock items. Subject to availability. Fees vary. Visit Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for full terms.
All right. Should we do Bucks?
Well, I would like to just reiterate, based off that boo I played, that was a boo.
Yeah, I heard it.
The take that I had the other day was, and I've had this probably with you guys before, booing is the least noise you can make to show displeasure.
It's a Bart Winkler classic take.
And I don't understand why, like, I don't know if we're just fatigued or whatever, or it's already, but I do want to say, like, Giannis booing the crowd back.
This is literally my question, but go ahead.
Ask the question.
The Giannis interaction during Tuesday's Timberwolves game is unequivocally the lowest low of this franchise in a decade. And by the way, in that is blowing a 2-0 lead to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. Nevertheless, for me, absolutely the lowest point that this franchise has seen in a decade. And that might be being generous that it's not much longer than that. But that whole scene, down 31 at half to the Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobertless Timberwolves being booed, booing back, saying boo this with two thumbs down, is, I mean, if you were to write the end, like the tragic end of like the Giannis Bucks timeline, you wouldn't have come up with that because you would have said, that's not Giannis, that's not Milwaukee, that's not whatever the, you know, the circumstances might be. You wouldn't have ever guessed in 100 guesses that it would be what transpired Tuesday night. So this was, that was the lowest moment of the, at least the past 10 years of Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
This is about as bad as it gets.
Losing is
massive.
Okay.
And remember that weekend? It was like after the Super Bowl. It might have been last year or 2 years ago, where there was a court storm. Yeah, when Kyle Filipowski got hit for Duke.
Yeah.
And because there was nothing else to talk about, that became the rage of all sports media. Kind of like how we're still talking about this Jacksonville lady. Like, I don't know. Someone said a nice thing. Ooh.
I have thoughts.
I don't want to do it. We're not.
We're not.
It's too far out. If this wasn't like, if this happened in March or any other, like this
non-football playoff.
Yeah. This is eight alarm fire. This is not good. I think the comments after were not good. Yeah. I think the best way that I can describe it is this is Spider-Man 3. The symbiote got him. Mm. And he is Venom now. Mm. This is not the Giannis we know. It can be heel turn. It could be whatever. I don't even think it's that. He is acting like an entirely different person. Like he's a Skrull. I think the Skrulls got him. Two comic.
Oh, Skrull.
Oh, now I get it. The Venom one was a little niche, but that's the one that landed for me. What is that from? What is a Skrull from?
Venom.
Oh, it's from the same
Skrull,
movie.
A Skrull is Secret Invasion, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but
Skrull, Kree.
Yeah. You know,
there's a long civil or a long war between the two.
These all sound like Indian tribes from Florida, is what it sounds like. The Skree and the Krull, and that's what I'm... None of this makes sense to me.
The Seminoles will be back in Avengers Doomsday.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. No, I understand.
Like, who is this? Like, who... Who is this? What is this? Why is this happening? He booed the after he already did this bit.
Yeah.
On the road. So it's like,
you know, this is the precursor to the precursor of the superstar about to leave, which is what kind of comment does a player make in a press conference amidst a losing streak when things aren't going well right before they're traded? What do you think we're about to hear from Giannis? If he's like every other player, we're going to hear some version of I want to get my joy back.
Oh,
I play
no.
this game for fun. I'm not having fun anymore. That's where we're almost there. We're getting so close. But the weird thing about Giannis is it's, I guess in a way it's self-induced. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's a point of, cause he's trying to get fired. He's Costanza in the parking lot with the World Series trophy. You know, round and round they go. He, I think, is realizing there must have been. I think he regrets this last contract.
No, well,
when did he extend?
Two and a half years ago. I don't think he does.
I mean, I think he's got to know that the NBA, you sign those the biggest extension you can the second you can, and then if you want to leave, then you figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe he regrets being on the Bucks this year instead of dealing with this in the summer.
Yeah.
Like that I could get behind.
Being more forceful with
things. I'm not sure how much of this conversation though can be had without a Doc Rivers factor, Jimmy Haslam factor.
Yeah.
And I say that because, and this is why I'm excited to, you know, do a show later.
Oh, the Bucks show tonight. Oh, sorry.
What, you think I'm at my job?
No, I thought you were. I thought you were making a joke.
I don't joke. This is my fucking livelihood. I don't joke about this shit.
No.
I don't joke about this shit.
I know.
For what it's worth, you sounded sarcastic when you said
you sounded sarcastic. Like and this is why I'm thankful I have a show to do tonight.
Yeah,
like you were mad that you don't have a show to do tonight.
No, I took it more as like, oh fuck, I got to do an hour on Bucks. That's how I took it.
So both. No,
I'm volunteering to do it on my own. I told my boss me that I would do it, and me said yes.
Yeah,
but the whole Doc Rivers thing and firing him and whatever.
Well, who are you gonna hire? Sorry. Keep going. Sorry.
They fired Adrian Griffin for a lot less. At least it was this shitty. Like, they were winning, though. Mm-hmm. They're not winning. Are you for sure? Would you lay down your life that they're going to even make the play-in tournament?
No.
Of course not.
Lord, no.
So you're going to take a team that maybe missed Giannis. Like, oh, Giannis was hurt. Yeah. Giannis was hurt for a while. I saw somebody say, and we'll see who the Spurs, I think they plan on playing everybody, right? Because you rest guys against the Bucks, and you're still going to win.
And still win, right.
You're still going to win. So they're like, I'm just trying to think. If I'm a fan who's going to go see Bucks Timberwolves on a random Tuesday in January.
It was on a Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
These games are not fucking cheap.
Thank you.
Can I build on that for a second? There was a quote I saw the other day, and I don't exactly remember if it was an old Bobby Portis quote, but someone had recalled the Bobby Portis. I like it here. I'm a blue collar guy. Milwaukee's a blue collar city. And the first thing I thought was, sure, Bobby, that might be true. A ticket to a Bucks game is not a blue collar activity in 2025, 2026.
It is most out of place thing in all of downtown because it costs so much to park. It costs so much to get in. People dress up at these games like they're going somewhere, which blows my fucking mind.
You and I have gone long on that. It's a fascinating phenomenon.
It really is. It's like the only place, if you want any sense of big city nightlife in Milwaukee, so you got to sit first five rows at a Bucks game and then maybe run over to Pato later to play your $25 tables. Please sponsor the show.
Are the tables really $25 at Pato?
Nothing's cheaper than 20.
Oh,
I can't even find 15 anymore.
Dude, Bucks tickets aren't cheap. Like, I tweeted something about this. It's like, the last time I went to a Bucks game, it was a Saturday night, so sure. But second level seats that weren't all that great were 80 a piece. And people in my mentions are like, you're paying way too much for tickets. I'm like, that's not the fucking point, okay? Like, sorry you go to MSOE and you have a buddy and you use the Game Time app and you walk down there and, you know, on a whim on Wednesday. Not all of us can do that. Like, a Saturday night, I want to go with me and three others. It's 80. It's been $80.
Yeah.
And there is nothing more insulting than when my team, when there's 8 minutes left in the first quarter and I'm sitting there with my Schmenzer in my hand thinking, oh, so we're not playing basketball tonight. Like, we're not trying. Cool. And we're not even to the first round of substitutions yet. And it's clear that this is over. Like, fuck you, respectfully. I spent $80 to sit here and the game's not 10 minutes in and I want to leave.
Yeah.
I said,
lose all you want, but like, try. Attempt to play.
I went to the game New Year's Eve. They lost to the fucking Wizards, but at least like they had a last second shot to maybe win.
There you go.
Game was all right.
I took you guys might remember this, like a week ago, maybe it was. I took you a screenshot of the Bucks Timberwolves, coincidentally, the game the other night, of the tickets. Remember this? And I circled and I said, what do you guess these seats are? And they were face value. It wasn't like, oh, it's, you know, someone secondary.
Because you're paying too much for tickets.
Up to the individual. And it was like, I think like 11th or 12th row center-ish court for a Tuesday against Minnesota. What we didn't know at the time was that Edwards would be out or that Gobert would be out, but this was a face value ticket. And I said, what would you guess this was? And I think, Bart, your first guess was like a 100, 150, something like that. And the answer was like 480. And you said my next guess was 400. Am I missing something that like, that is like such a great seat that there's going to be someone in Milwaukee on a Tuesday who's like, you know what I want to do?
Not just any Tuesday.
A random in January.
When nobody's playing. Seeing anybody on the other team. No one's playing.
And by the way, not only are you not seeing anyone on the other team, you're still seeing a loss. And you're not just seeing a loss. You're seeing the star guy give you the double thumbs down.
Well, you're not even sure if he's going to play. We went to Bucks Warriors this year. He dipped out 20 minutes before the game.
The people who went to the Wolves game didn't see a basketball game. They saw the Wolves win
practice,
the contest, and the Bucks were out there like doing a little cardio. That's literally what it was.
You might as well go to your Anytime Fitness and watch people hoop.
Yeah.
Get up close. Get a souvenir.
So the story to me is from Tuesday night was like, yeah, Giannis booing Bucks fans back is bad, but that's not indicative of anything we didn't already know. Tuesday night is like, you got to stand up for the consumer, for the ticket buying fan in your city, Bart, or next to your city where you live. Like that's
blocks. I could spit there right now.
That's highway robbery, what they're getting away with. So fans should be able to boo. Craig Council is a complete and total DB, a complete and total douchebag. But when he said before Cubs, hey, you buy a ticket, that's your right. Cheer, boo, whatever you want. You buy a ticket, that's your right. If I spend $80 to sit in the nosebleeds and you've given up at the 8-minute mark in the first quarter, like, I'm going to boo. Oh, Giannis, boo, you're out
like,
there.
I don't understand. Because then if they didn't boo, like, I don't understand. If a fan is unhappy, you're basically saying you have no course of action to express that. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're not saying, hey, Giannis, your whatever is whatever. You're not calling him names. You're not being derogatory. You're not ripping on his family. You're booing my family. You're not doing any of that. You are simply making a noise. Boo. You're not even doing it. And then, because then if they didn't do anything, well, just don't do anything. Then players are going to be like, and we just sat there in silence. How offensive. It's like the booing is so minimal.
It's the death threat take. It's just like, oh, can you believe they got death threats? They didn't get death threats. Can you believe they were booing? Dude, booing happens all the time.
Boo.
The Packers could be up 17-0, and if they kneel down going into halftime, there'll probably be some fans that boo them on the way into the locker room, even if they're up 17. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. It's such a natural.
Boo. Well, then who do you want to watch then? Who did you want to watch then? You're going to boo them.
Yeah.
Who do you want to replace them with?
I play for my family. I don't play for you. Like, okay, all right, Spartacus, calm down. You know what I mean? Easy.
So it's ending poorly, obviously, with Giannis.
Which we talked about this, a month and a half, 2 months ago?
But could you imagine all good things come to an end? That's why they end.
Here's one thing. I was going to try to determine whether or not I should do this as like a pop quiz. Do you like, how do I say this? The NBA's draft pick thing is complicated, and the Bucks, you know, like they've traded all of the picks they can trade except for 2031 and all this other stuff. But I had a moment the other night where who owns the Bucks 2026 pick? New Orleans.
Oh.
Okay. New Orleans has the right to swap. New Orleans traded that to Atlanta, but it still is the Pelicans pick, where the Bucks or the Pelicans, whichever pick is the better of the ones, Atlanta gets it, and the Bucks get the worse of the two. Why do I bring this up? The Pelicans are bad. The Bucks are bad. So the Hawks will get the better of the two, and the Bucks will get the worse of the two. The worse of the two between the Bucks and the Pelicans could very easily be like a top eight pick. So I don't think, because we just think, oh, the Bucks can't trade the 2026 pick. They cannot. But they still own it in the sense of getting the worst of the two. The Bucks have a first-round pick in 2026. It's just they cannot trade it, at least until draft night, and it's the worst of theirs or New Orleans. So, like, if the Pelicans, giving it to Atlanta, have, you know, the third pick in the draft, and then the Bucks lottery luck their way into the fourth pick of the draft, the Bucks had the fourth pick of the draft. They don't know that shit to anybody. So, anyway, just want to – I'm guessing that's an NBA draft pick nuance thing that, for someone as obsessive with that stuff as I am, and even I the other night had to be like, oh, wait a minute. This is a major thing that could happen. So, like, the point is, whereas, like, the Clippers, if the Clippers are bad this season, they do not actually physically have a 2026 first-round pick. It goes to Oklahoma City regardless. The Bucks have a 2026 first-round pick. If this season goes even further into the shitter than it already has – and you don't even make the play-in, and, you know, you have teams like Dallas winning the lottery luck for Cooper Flagg and the Spurs for Wembanyama. Like, it's not out of the realm of 25-30% chance that the Bucks bottom out this year and they wind up with a top five pick because New Orleans is just as bad or worse, and then you're great. You're actually in a good spot this offseason to start over. But I don't know what that means for the next 3 months, because boy, if Bart, you're so, let's be clear, Bart, you're going to sit down and spend 2.5 hours watching the Bucks tonight, right?
No,
he's doing a show. I was gonna say, I know he's doing a show.
I said I'm doing a. I didn't say I'm watching the game. I said I'm doing a show after the game. I didn't say I'm watching the game.
I'm going live after the
game. I'm going live after the game.
I don't even
infer what you must.
I don't think he's ever even called it a post game show at any point. I think he's just specified he's going
live. He's
going
to be live on the air, you know, after the game.
Yeah. Fair enough. Because I just like I just can't put myself in the mindset. Like I want to watch the Spurs. There's a, you know, a moment of watching the Bucks that still maybe they go out and win by 25 tonight, but boy, it just seems like a real big ask to say, even to an NBA fan, watch the Bucks game tonight.
Like, same. I've tried. I've tried on nights where I got nothing going on, and I'm partway through the second quarter. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. Right.
Woof.
Right.
Buzz, all right. Your girlfriend.
Boys, always a pleasure.
No, my pleasure. Our pleasure.
Feel free to stop by tonight. I'll be live after the game.
Okay. No. How about no?
All right.
Just kidding.
Thank you both for stopping into, and all of you, into the Winklerverse.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer. Terms apply.